Do you know that awesome feeling when you get into bed, fall right asleep, stay asleep all night, and wake up feeling refreshed? I don't either. Falling asleep versus staying awake. Is that the question? The late Ronald Reagan said, "I never drink coffee before lunch. I find it keeps me awake all afternoon." George Foreman said, "I think sleeping was my problem in school. If school had started at 4 in the afternoon, I'd be a college graduate." So what makes us drowsy, falling asleep? Exhaustion? Boredom? Inactivity? What keeps us alert and awake? Besides caffeine, engaging interaction with people we enjoy or who inspire us? The pressure of a deadline? What keeps us alert and awake for the second coming of Jesus Christ? Jesus tells a story in the gospel today about the wise and foolish maidens. So is this parable about falling asleep or staying awake? How can it be that nobody bats an eye at the fact that all the ladies in waiting are napping when the groom arrives? So staying awake is clearly not the point. This parable is about being prepared. The wise virgins were the ones who knew and cared about what they were doing. They wanted to be part of the celebration, and so they did everything necessary to be able to participate fully. And falling asleep, well, that didn't matter. They were confident that whenever it happened, it started, they would be ready. They had no worries to interfere with their siesta. So if you have a 401k retirement plan, then you're like the five wise virgins who planned ahead and brought extra oil. Or maybe you're like the loving mother who says, "Better bring a jacket just in case." And like a good Boy Scout, you're always prepared. See, the wise in the community are alert, awake, prepared, engaged, and persistent. But what about the others? What characterizes them as foolish? Well, we have to go back to the 7th chapter of Matthew's gospel. Foolish people, Jesus says, are the ones who heard his words and didn't bother to act on them. That sounds a lot like not bothering to procure the oil you need to relight your torch. The sleep of the foolish just might have been a sign of their general apathy. Their paltry preparation matched their lack of passion for the event itself. They were along for the ride. And if the trip got too costly, they could find other diversions. That's how they had lived their lives. The foolish in the community are drowsy, inattentive, thoughtless, detached, and languid. So maybe we should ask ourselves the question, like, why wouldn't the wise virgins share their extra oil with the others who needed some? Well, Jesus had said that wisdom consists in putting his words into practice. The wise young women's oil symbolized their store of experience of living the gospel. Their discipleship prepared them to enjoy the party that was to come. See, living the gospel is not like hoarding oil or packing a backpack. It's more like riding a bike, learning a new language, or being generous. We practice it until it comes naturally. For the foolish, then, to beg, "Lend us some of your oil of preparation," was as absurd as saying, "Give me a bit of your balance so I can ride this bike." There are some things each of us must do for ourselves, and no amount of example from others can make up for our lack of action. Initially, all the bridesmaids are indistinguishable. But what distinguishes the foolish from the wise is readiness for the bridegroom, even in the face of delay. Delay is difficult. Being put on hold while waiting to speak to a customer service representative, or enduring a sluggish internet connection. Delay frustrates those living in a fast-paced world. But the wise are prepared for the delay. So how prepared were the 26 Christians murdered in last Sunday's shooting that occurred in the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas? This incomprehensible, tragic event joins an ever-growing list of mass shootings, some of which were also at churches while people were worshiping at prayer. The editorial page of Wednesday's Times-Picayune printed a graphic entitled "The Future of America, Future of Religion in America." The drawing pictured a group of church worshipers kneeling in the pews with rifles over their shoulders. Do we want our churches to become places in which people feel as though they should be fearful about coming in? Cardinal Supich of Chicago said, "We don't need military weapons in our society. We're not at war with one another." He also said, "The time for expressing sorrow and leaving it at that is over. It's time to act." How prepared are we if a similar event happened here in our church? For this reason, the Archdiocese of New Orleans has asked every parish to form a team of parishioners to create a violence protection plan. But that's the sad state of affairs we live in. We have already changed our dismissal routine for our CCD classes on Sunday morning. Parents have to go to the classroom to pick up their children. If you are interested in being part of a team to develop such a plan for our worship, I need your help. And this includes all of our liturgical ministers to be trained as to what our response should be. As we await the coming of Christ, sometimes we are wise and sometimes we are foolish. What does it mean for you to be wise during this long delay of the bridegroom's coming? When have you slept away opportunities to know and be known by Jesus Christ? We are wise when we make daily choices in line with gospel values, cultivate strong relationships with Christ through prayer and attentiveness to the needs of others, and remain faithful despite the ordinary ups and downs of gospel living. When are we foolish? Let's not find ourselves a day late and a dollar short.